again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And we are so honored today and privileged to be part of the broadcast family of WMAF. And we are so happy that you have become part of the listening family of WMAF. Praise God. Amen. I pray this family will grow this year, that more and more people will discover this fine station and discover the ministries that are offered here and the entertainment, family-friendly country music, family-friendly gospel music. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just all family-friendly here. And we're so grateful when the kids come in, you don't have to turn the radio down. Amen. All right. We're glad for the other ministers that minister here on WMAF. We are not in competition with anyone except the devil for the souls of men and women. We want to see the church rise up in this great last day and join the efforts of Christians around the world to bring in this great last day harvest. Praise God. We want to be part of that. And we're so glad for the media, for the opportunity to minister over the airways and to have these broadcasts on our website to be downloaded to anyone who comes to visit us there, along with sermons of live church services right here in Tampa, Florida. So we invite you to come to our website if you would like to, or just type in THCOG, THCOG, that stands for The Holy Church of God, right here in Tampa, Florida. We've been an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International out of San Diego, California, for 38 years, since 1974, where I have been senior pastor here. We're so glad for all of these years to be able, at this particular time, to be able to reach out through the media as we are doing. We've done it in the past for seasons of time, but this time it just seems to be so special. I'm so honored to be able to speak to you directly, distinctly today from the Word of God. We're beginning a new subject this week called The Good Shepherd Knows My Name, The Blessedness of Belonging to God. Amen. We want to talk to you right out of the New Testament today for a while in this Bible study. It is so significant that God knows every one of us intimately and personally, and He knows our name. Praise God. And John 10 gives us that great profile of our good shepherd God. Hallelujah. I want you to know David's shepherd of Psalm 23 is our shepherd here in John 10 and is our shepherd right now in the 21st century. Oh, when I say the Lord is my shepherd, I have said a mouthful, because that means all of the provision and protection that he has made available to me is mine to receive and to claim. And how we need that provision in these very dangerous days that we are living in right now. If you look at the news at any given time, it's almost mind-numbing. It's almost lost its shock value. We've just been shocked so many times that it just seems to be the new normal is for the outrageous. And I'm telling you, friend of mine, I am so glad in these very dangerous days to know my Shepherd King. Praise God. I can't wait to get into this message today. And if you're not a Christian today and you're feeling the pressure, and I know you are, because we who know Christ are feeling the pressure, but there's a relief every time we go to the Word of God. We find a place of peace, a place of hope that simply cannot be found anywhere but in His person and in His promises to us. Praise the Lord. I hope your appetite has been whetted today as we get into God's blessed word. Amen. John chapter 10. I'm going to read a lot of this chapter today because this profile of God wanting to care for us intimately and personally is so important to our faith, being able to rest in the Lord in a time of such tumult, such trouble all around us. Listen to what the Word of God declares. Jesus speaking here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. We're going to read 16 verses. Listen carefully. Verily, verily, that means surely, surely, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Praise God. And he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Praise God. I want to back up to verse 3, where it says, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. I want to talk to you today about the spiritual implications and resulting blessings of having a shepherd God who knows you so intimately and personally that he knows your name. Have you ever felt alone or abandoned? That's kind of a rhetorical question, isn't it? Sometimes in a crowd, when you're going through a particular, peculiar trial or test, you can feel alone and isolated. Sometimes within your own family circle, people who love you, but they're not standing in your shoes, feeling your hurt, you can feel alone and even abandoned. Have you ever felt like you just couldn't keep up? That you lack the strength or stamina to overcome? Have you ever felt overwhelmed and afraid? If you have, you're not the first, and you will not be the last that had to recover your faith and get back up, praise God, and stand on His promise. But that feeling's going to come in certain circumstances. Remember, friend, when the feeling comes, it's a feeling. Just that. It's not a fact. The fact is, you are greatly loved, and you will not be abandoned. You know, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. And it's in the emphatic in the Greek. It would read like this, I will never, no, never. If there's one thing God wants us to be assured of, especially when these feelings come, that the fact is God is with us on the mountaintops and even more so in the valleys of our life. Praise God. So if you've ever felt these things, I've got good news for you. You have a good shepherd who knows you intimately and personally. Because he knows your name, you can take courage and rest in his love. Praise God. All the enemy will come and say, if God loved you, he wouldn't let this happen. You know something, folks? We live in a faulty body, and we live in a fallen world. And we experience the hurt and the pain of this fallen, cursed world. We're not under the curse as Christians, but we're in a world that is. And I want you to know that we're going to have hurt in our life, and there's no getting away from it. But God loves us as a shepherd who owns the sheep, and who loves them, and who knows each of them by name. Aren't you glad God doesn't just lump us in with the flock, but he deals with us on an individual, intimate, personal basis. You know, there's a scripture that applies to all of us, but it applies to all of us in a very intimate, personal way. And it simply says that that no trial has taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. That's not the same grace for everyone. It's not the same strength for everyone. He knows what I can bear. He knows what you can bear. He knows what each one of us is facing and what we are feeling. That's the incredible intimacy of God, and he deals with us not as a flock, and he deals with us as individual people within this flock called the sheepfold. He knows when I'm doing my best, and he knows when you're doing your best. He knows what I'm capable of, and he knows my limitations. He knows my hurt and gives me grace sufficient for what I am going through. And he'll give you grace sufficient for what you are going through. Praise God, because he knows us not as a group, but he knows us individually and personally. Let me tell you some facts about a Palestinian sheep pen. It had walls, but only one entrance, where the shepherd slept to protect the sheep from predators. The shepherd would lead the sheep, not drive them, and they knew his voice. They had individual names, often given as a description of each sheep's unique peculiarities, color, marking, shape, size, etc. Throughout the Bible, names are important. One's name is more than a label for postal envelopes or a file in the tax department. The shepherd would risk his life for their safety. But Jesus, the good shepherd, doesn't just risk his life. He lays down his life for his sheep. Five times he refers to his death for the flock in the scripture. Usually, sheep are offered as a blood sacrifice for the shepherd. Here, the shepherd offers himself as a blood sacrifice for the sheep. We who are not part of Judaism are the other sheep that we just spoke of. However, we belong to one flock with one shepherd, one united church around the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me. Let's jump back for a moment to Psalm 23, this great shepherd psalm in the Old Covenant. The fact that Christ knows your name, friend, means that you have a shepherd God who cares for you. And there's no better portrait in the Old Covenant than Psalm 23:1, beginning with verse 1, a psalm of David. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Someone said of this psalm, and I quote, "Psalm 23 is one of the simplest yet loveliest poems ever written. Its lines are as simple as childhood rhymes, and yet its meaning is as deep as an archangel's anthem. we could well afford to deprive ourselves of some of Earth's most magnificent libraries rather than to deprive ourselves of this precious little poem, Psalm 23. And, oh, friend, it's more than a poem. It is a revelation of God's watch care over His sheep. Psalm 23 is the reflective thinking of an aged man who had been forgiven and who had discovered wonderful truths about God. It's a confession of faith. It's a profession of faith and a proclamation of faith. It's an anthem of grace. It's a shout of joy. It's an exclamation from the heart of a man who is overflowing with love and gratitude for his God. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the personification of the Shepherd King of Psalm 23. See, Jesus has a shepherd's heart, and He loves you. He has a shepherd's eye, and He sees all of your needs. He has a shepherd's strength, and He will deliver you. He has a shepherd's faithfulness, and He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. He has a shepherd's tenderness. He will give you personal attention if you trust Him. He alone can bring contentment which runs this deep. Can anyone say with a clear, concise understanding of what you're saying and not shout victory and joy and thank you, Jesus? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows my name. I'm well cared for. He that died for me will provide for me. Praise the Lord. Because He knows my name, I can rest in Him. Psalm 23 verse 2 says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. You know, Philip Keller was a shepherd by trade for many, many years, and he's the author of a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 21st Psalm. Well, I believe if a shepherd wrote the 23rd Psalm, then certainly a shepherd can interpret it best to us. And in relation to this particular text, this is what Philip Keller says, and I quote, "The strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless certain requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear." Oh, isn't that beautiful? God wants to deliver us from that is slowly but surely encapsulating every heart of every person on this planet. Amen. God wants to deliver you from fear today. One of the most frequent used terms in the New Testament is fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And when you see these things, and they were negative, coming to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. They won't lay down unless they are free from fear. And friend, you won't be able to rest your soul in God unless we come to that place of faith in His faithfulness and in His love and in His watch care, that we can lay down our worries, our cares. We can cast them upon the Lord. I was telling someone recently of a missionary in South Africa many years ago. And in the particular language of the tribe that he was ministering to, he couldn't find a word in their language to tell them about faith, how to come to a place of trusting faith in the Lord. He couldn't find faith in their language. How could he interpret faith, biblical faith unto them that brings rest and peace to the soul? So one day he had a couch delivered to the little mission home, and he wanted to try it out, and two of the converted Christian natives brought it in, and he had them put it down, and immediately he jumped up on that couch, stretched his full weight upon it, stretched out, laid back, and the moment he became fully relaxed on that couch and just luxuriating in the softness of this couch instead of a wooden table with a blanket on it that he was laying on sometimes, you know, he said that one of the natives said a word. And he stopped him and sat up and said, "What does that word mean?" He said, "That word means that essentially that the full weight of your body is now placed upon the couch." And he said, "That's the word. That's the word I'm looking for, because that is a descriptive word in your language of what biblical faith is all about." Ah, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ and all of the fear is assuaged and the fear is gone and replaced by faith, we put our full weight, all of our cares. You know, the Bible said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all of your care on Him because He cares for you. I love it in the Amplified. It says, casting all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon Him. For He cares for you, and He watches over you affectionately. God loves you. He doesn't just lump you in with what is called the church or the flock. He deals with you as He deals with me and every child of God individually. Personally, praise the Lord. Jesus said He's so intimate, amen, that the sparrow is the least of the birds in the marketplace. They are sold for a mere farthing, and yet not one sparrow falls without your Father. Not one falls from the sky that it doesn't touch the heart of God. And He said, "You are worth more than many sparrows." And He said, "The very hair on your head is numbered, and the Father knows this altogether." Friend, there's nobody. I've been married to my wife now going on 49 years. This anniversary, this May, I'm going to tell you something. My wife does not know. She knows me better than anybody on this planet knows me after almost 50 years of living with me in marriage and matrimony. Hey, friend, I tell you, she doesn't know how many hairs are on my head. There's no way that she has the count of them. Amen. God has a running count. He has to subtract for those that go down the drain in the tub when I shampoo. God knows me like nobody knows me and loves me in spite of that, like nobody loves me. And He's the same with you today. Praise God. We serve a God that cares, friend, a God that sees, a God that hears, a God that answers prayer. When we call upon Him in faith, believing, when we rest upon Him, when we stretch out our full weight upon Him, praise God, amen, casting your care, all of your anxiety, once and for all upon Him, because He cares for you. When fear is effectively dealt with, rest can come. You know, Jesus said, "Oh, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest for your soul." Because of sheep's social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they're free from friction with others of their kind. You know, this is a tall order right here, but in order to fully rest in the Lord, we need to be at peace with one another. We need to be able to not look at each other as children of God under a microscope, because we're going to see all kinds of flaws in each other. But when we look at each other through the eyes of love, we see the good because we see our God in one another. Not that we are divine, but we are divinely kept. We are divinely filled with His Spirit, praise God. And the character and nature of Jesus is being developed in every one of us. And we're all under construction. Hallelujah. Praise God. I need a big sign on my back that says, God, please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. I believe we could all, as Christians, if we're honest, we could wear that sign around our neck or on our back. Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. Ah, but He loves me just as I am. But He loves me too much to leave me that way. He's going to work in our life. He's going to do work, amen, because He is doing it on an individual basis. Don't look at what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is not doing. Just thank God for what He's doing in you and pray for everybody else that you know. We are a church under construction. I wish I could show the world absolute perfection. I am so sorry that I cannot yet. I'm making no excuses for my faults and my failures. I'm just saying God isn't finished with me yet. Hallelujah. But one day He will crown this work that He's begun with absolute perfection. But until that day comes, God is going to work within us, and He's going to do it patiently, and He's going to do it persistently. You know, the Bible said, He that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why is He going to keep on working within us? Because we're never going to get there until we put on incorruption and mortal puts on immortality. But in between, God is going to work to that end within you and within me. And He's going to do it according to our own character, according to what He knows about us. And He knows more about you, friend, than anyone knows. And He loves you. He knows you by name. Praise God. Amen. Listen, we're going to stop right here today. There's so much in this message. I get excited. I tend to want to rush to these points. But I'm going to stop here today and tell you that if you don't know Jesus Christ, God knows the hair of your head too. He knows exactly what you are facing in life. He knows your heartaches, your heartbreaks. He knows every sin that you've ever committed. And He offers you pardon. He offers you forgiveness. He offers to embrace you as one of His own, count you among His flock, and deal with you from that point forward as if you had never sinned, and begin to heal the hurt that is in your heart, the hurt that sin brings. I'm going to tell you, sin promises pleasure, but it brings pain. It promises fulfillment, but it brings emptiness. See, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came with an entirely different purpose. I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you more abundantly. So friend, if you don't know Christ today, would you open your heart right now? Would you give your heart to the Lord? Would you repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to come in and be your Savior? I know you can't change yourself, but God can and will change you. And today could be the day that not only your life changes, but your destiny. Heaven can be your home. Christ can be your Savior. God can be your Father. And then He can shepherd you. Oh, it's such a good feeling to be in His fold, to have the Good Shepherd who has already laid down His life to prove how committed He is to our protection, to our salvation. Come to Jesus today. And if you're a Christian, quit worrying. Cast your care upon Him and rest in the Lord. Come back next Jesus. Next I'm so filled with Jesus today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.